This year, the legislature cut funding to Iowa's community colleges by $3 million. This hour, three Iowa community college presidents on how their schools are coping. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, I'll chat with Des Moines Area Community College President Robert Denson, Kirkwood Community College President Mick Starcevich, and Northeast Iowa Community College President Ling Chi Wee. I ask not only how they're dealing with the funding cuts, but also how their schools are changing to meet the changing workforce needs of the state. Did you attend one of Iowa's community colleges? Tell us about your experience this hour and how that education got you where you are today. First, this hour's news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour is all about Iowa's community colleges. We'll be talking with three different presidents, the president of Kirkwood Community College, also later in the hour, the president of Northeast Iowa Community College. Joining us, first of all, Robert Denson, president of Des Moines Area Community College, commonly known as DMAC, of course, two-year community college based in central Iowa with an enrollment of about 25,000 students. Robert Denson, President Denson, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having us here. It's a very important and timely subject.
It is, indeed. Let's talk about what the legislature did its last session, a funding cut to Iowa's community colleges, $3 million. Tell us what that cut means for DMAC specifically.
Well, first of all, I need to thank the governor and legislature. They've continually been supportive of the community colleges and the jobs that we fill. Out of the $3 million, DMAC's part of that was $800,000, which is a significant number for us and probably any organization.
Mm-hmm. So what will that, how will you make up the shortfall? Services lost, jobs cut, or just tuition raised?
Well, we did not raise tuition above our normal rate. We took the position that the students had nothing to do with this. Many of our students, money is absolutely their issue. In this era of student debt and everything else, we went up $4 per credit hour, which is about our normal cost of living increase every year. And we decided to make other types of reductions, again, hoping that this is not a long-term trend. DMAC, we froze 7 faculty positions and 3 staff positions. We eliminated 5 others. We've actually eliminated 13 positions over the last 3 years. We saved some money when faculty members and staff members who retired, we were able to hire back new faculty and staff at lower salaries. We reduced the number of adjuncts and summer contracts extensions, and then we've also increased the dual enrollment in some of our online fees. Mm-hmm. We have no general fees, but in some specific areas we have some fees. So, at this point, obviously with our students, we know that they need more support in many cases. I mean, they've got one or two jobs, they've got families. I mean, they walk in holding their bootstraps, looking for a better life. The good news is that over 60% of the jobs in Iowa require more than high school, but no more than a 1 or 2 year degree. So we're able to get individuals into a good job at a relatively low cost. DMAC has the lowest tuition and fees in the state. We're the largest community college in the state. But we know that we've got to be cost efficient, or students simply can't afford to come.
If you'd like to join us, a conversation at the moment with Robert Denson, president of Des Moines Area Community College. Iowa Public Radio listeners, did you attend one of Iowa's community colleges? Tell us about your experience and how that education got you where you are today. 1-866-780-9100. Of course, any questions for President Denson as well. 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. You mentioned tuition, President Denson. What does it cost these days to attend DMAC?
$151 per credit hour. which is, you know, relatively inexpensive in the scheme of things at other colleges and universities. You know, it might be good just to offer a little perspective on the state of higher education as far as numbers. The Legislative Service Agency of Iowa in May came out with their latest report showing that just over 124,000 Iowa students go to community colleges throughout the state. Just under 50,000 went to universities, just over 12,000 went to private colleges. So if you look at the number of credit students served per year throughout the state, we're at about the community colleges are just over 124,000, and the regents and the privates combined are at 62,000. So a large part of Iowa's education and skill-seeking population is now going to community colleges, almost 2-to-1. So they're recognizing the value that they receive. The quality is virtually the same because all of our students and all their credits transfer to other colleges and universities. So we have become more and more of a viable option. And many of the community colleges in Iowa turned 50 years old in 2016. You know, very young in higher education terms. But I think the legislators that created the community college system back in 1965, I think they're pretty pleased with the return on their investment and how successful the Iowa system has become. And the Iowa system is regarded nationally as one of the best systems in the country.
Mm-hmm. Now that you point out the number of Iowans served by Iowa's community colleges, it really is double that of the public universities, for example. Do you think that enough emphasis, enough focus, enough attention is given to the work that the community colleges do in Iowa, given that you educate twice as many students as the public universities?
Well, I think probably the bigger question is just where the jobs are. Again, 60% of the jobs in Iowa, and these are good middle-skill jobs that pay well with good benefits, with great companies in Iowa. I mean, we have a number of open jobs right now because we don't have enough individuals, with our numbers, in the pipeline graduating into these job areas.
Can you name some fields that are particular in need?
Advanced manufacturing, healthcare. There are just a large number of RN vacancies open right now in central Iowa and throughout the state. IT, anything in information technology. You may have seen that this week DMACC and Iowa State just created a trademarked Iowa Cyber Hub to help really begin to upskill and increase the number of individuals in cyber jobs. Truck driving. I mean, truck drivers are very, very good jobs. Pay well with very, very good companies in Iowa. I mean, they're in great demand. So we've got many areas throughout the state, again, with very good companies where there are job stresses. You know, we are all the community colleges now are working with the governor on Future Ready Iowa. We want to increase the number of individuals throughout the state that have credentials that lead to good careers. Iowa right now is at 58.1% of our population has a credential of one kind or another. The goal is 70% by 2025. And I think because of the efforts of Governor Reynolds and Linda Fandel from her office and Beth Townsend and the Department of Iowa Workforce Development and Ryan Wise in Education, I mean, we are working together well with them. Again, it's all in lining up individuals for good jobs. And the legislature, through a number of ways, the Workforce Training and Economic Development Fund and a number of other pockets of money that they've given us, really allow us to target in on specific individuals and give them the support they need. Because with a lot of people that are coming out of poverty, that are unemployed, or just want to improve their skills, I mean, we need to make sure that they can afford to go to college because, you know, again, they're supporting families, they're usually working one or two jobs.
Right.
And we are looking at what other states are doing. You know, Indiana now has a last dollar scholarship for community colleges. Tennessee has a good program. Community colleges are probably never going to be totally free everywhere, but we need to make sure that we're affordable and that we can put together those pockets of money to help individuals start and complete a skill training program and getting into a good job.
President Denson, for those who aren't perhaps aware about the difference, broadly speaking, remind us, what is the difference between a two-year community college and a four-year university or college?
Yeah, that's a good question. About 60% of the students that come to DMACC, and we actually serve about 37,000 credit students per year. About 60% of them are coming to us to get the general education and other preparatory training that they would need to go on to a four-year school. So we do the same thing in the first 2 years, in our 2 years, that a college university like Iowa State or Drake would do in their first 2 years. And students leave us because of the great relationship we have with our four-year university partners. The credits transfer, so the students would move from us to a junior status somewhere, and then, of course, save a lot of tuition dollars.
Exactly.
With us before they go on. The other 45% of DMAC students are coming to us for a 1 or 2 year degree, which could be auto mechanics, from nursing to anything. It's to come to DMAC, pick up a skill in 1 or 2 years, and then go on to work. Another area that I failed to mention is the whole area of logistics and it's developing pipelines of logistics, so that with the transportation industry and other, we need to have better logistics as to how we move products through systems. And that's been a very popular area at DMAC recently.
Mm-hmm. Robert Denson, you mentioned the Iowa Cyber Hub, also Future Ready Iowa. Wanted to get to those in a minute, but we've got a couple people on the phone want to join in our conversation. Elizabeth is with us from Des Moines. I see on my screen, Elizabeth, welcome to the program that you attended, DMAC.
I did, and I can't speak highly enough about the campus, the programs there. I graduated with my associate's degree in 2005, and with that I was able to transfer directly into the University of Iowa as a junior and completed my last 2 years of college there. But not only that, I actually had some medical issues in high school that kind of prevented me from being a traditional high school student. And I completed my senior year of high school at DMAC as well, and was able to get both high school and college credits at the same time. So I completed my high school diploma and also got some credits toward my associate's degree. So it was absolutely invaluable to me, and I can't speak highly enough. I saved thousands of dollars in tuition by going to DMAC, and again was able to transfer directly to Iowa, right into my major. And because of that, I really feel that because of that, I have no student loans to speak of today, because I did not have to take out nearly as many as people who would have gone the full 4 years at a university.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a great experience.
I can hear it in your voice. I'm very excited. Glad you phoned in, Elizabeth, to give those glowing words about your experience with DMAC. May I ask what area you're working in now?
Actually, I'm a stay-at-home mom now, but before I worked in the insurance industry, and I was able to get a job right out of university, which was in 2007, even though in the middle of the recession, I was able to get work. So I worked in the insurance industry for 7 years. So, yeah.
Very good, Elizabeth. Thanks for calling from Des Moines.
Thank you. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye now. We talked a lot about tuition, Robert Denson. What is your average student debt after the two-year degree?
If you add in housing and everything else, it's about $11,000 to $12,000.
That's tuition, or the cost of going there.
Oh, the cost per year is about $3,800.
Okay, good. But you did then say that your average student debt is something like just over $10,000. Really?
Yes, and that includes housing and transportation and everything else.
That must be a huge difference compared to four-year schools. Of course, it's two more years of school, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Craig in Des Moines. Craig in Ames. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the program. What's your angle on this?
Yes, good morning to both of you. I have nothing but praise for the architectural drafting program at DMAC under Tom Peterson. I learned several years ago that he passed away, but he was an architect and worked in private industry, so he had a wealth of experience in the private sector. I went through the program. We did a typical from start to finish layout for a residential home. Then we did a light commercial building. In our last building, we did a solar earth-sheltered home like the one that's built over in Conrad, Iowa. So we ended up doing the Frank Lloyd Wright tour in Chicago for a week, which is absolutely phenomenal. My wife also went through, and that was kind of our honeymoon. She went through the legal secretary program, so had nothing but great things to say.
This is a few years ago, I take it.
1979, 1980. Yes, sir.
All right, Craig and Ames, thanks for giving us your personal view on DMACC, your experience. We appreciate it.
Craig, if I could jump in, Craig makes a very good point. For our career and technical programs, all of those faculty that teach those programs come out of industry. I mean, they have to have had 4,000 to 6,000 hours of successful work out in industry and then come to us. Also, every one of our vocational programs has an advisory committee that advises that program, and the advisory committee comes from the businesses that are hiring students out of those programs. And Craig helped build a house, but we do a lot of contextualized learning. So that our students learn all of the skills that they need to be a skilled worker in whatever area it might be, taught by faculty who came out of that industry. So we're excited about being able to teach at the speed of business the competencies that are needed at this particular time.
Mm-hmm. We want to get back to a couple things you mentioned earlier, Robert Dentz, and the Future Ready Iowa and the Iowa Cyber Hub. We have 8 or so minutes left. Let's talk about Future Ready Iowa. That will be a new term for a lot of people. What is it?
Okay, the governor, actually Governor Branstad created it. Lieutenant Governor then, Kim Reynolds, was the chair. She's now obviously governor. And the whole goal was to increase the number of individuals in Iowa who have a credential. The community colleges have been very engaged in this. They have 5 working committees in Future Ready Iowa. 3 of them were chaired by community college presidents. You'll talk to Dr. Wee later. He chairs one of the committees, and I chair one of the committees. Also, Chris DeRee from Iowa Valley was on the executive committee of Future Ready Iowa. We're trying to make sure that we can recommend to the legislature this next session what Iowa can do to make a pretty big jump in these number of credentials, because we know that in order to get a good job, these middle skilled jobs I talked about, you have to have a credential.
So you mean something beyond high school?
Absolutely. And it can be a credit program. It could be a non-credit program. It could be come out of a boot camp. But it's just some skill training beyond what you would receive as you come through your high school diploma.
Mm-hmm. We did indeed report on the creation of the new Iowa Cyber Hub. DMACC, along with Iowa State University, joining together to create this a new burgeoning world. I guess, unfortunately, we need a lot of cybersecurity experts.
Yeah, they're saying by 2020 we may have a shortage of well over 1 million jobs nationally in the whole cyber field, and it is sad. A recent Cyber magazine estimated that by 2025, cyber crime will account for over $6 trillion in damages per year. Mm. I mean, that's just an unfathomable amount. But it's like everything else. I mean, we will have to gear up at all levels, and many IT professionals now are able to find very good jobs with a 2-year degree from their local community college. Because we custom build graduates to go to work at the earliest possible time, because many of the companies that come to us with skill needs, you know, they really can't wait 4 years. They, you know, don't like waiting 2 years. So many of them are now hiring our students while they're in class, putting them on a scholarship or paying them 20 hours a week to come and learn how to work in that particular company as they are coming to DMACC to get the skills they need to be a full-time employee down the road. I mean, we're working hard with everyone. That's what Future Ready Iowa is going to be very good at. It's going to be very flexible. It's going to be very mobile and move quickly, because if we're going to keep our Iowa businesses successful, we need to be responsive at the speed of business.
Okay, let's go back to our phones. Robert Denson, president of Des Moines Area Community College. Mary in Iowa County. Hi, Mary. What's your angle or your question on DMACC?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I noticed another big education item in Iowa this week has been the really poor standing of Iowa in foreign language education. And when I heard the president talk about 60% of students who go to community colleges do want to go on to a 4-year degree, I'm pretty sure they have pretty massive foreign language requirements to get that BA. And I also know that the jobs that are cut in teaching in community colleges are often in the humanities, especially foreign language. So I was just wondering, you know, just kind of a basic response to foreign language education and the community college. And thank you very much for taking my call.
Mary, thank you from Iowa County.
That's a good question. Mary, I need to probably chat with you. I was born and raised in Iowa County on a farm south of Homestead, so we may be on the same gravel road. Well, foreign languages are important, and that is not one of the areas that we've cut. We have French, we have Spanish, and we have Chinese as languages of interest in the DMAC system. You know, we know how important that is. So, you know, and I agree with you that, you know, in this world economy, with trade as it is, and there's probably no more globally connected, economically driven state globally than Iowa, you know, we need to maintain not only languages, but good global history for all of our students so they can go out and compete. Because when they go to work, very likely they're going to go to work for a company that has a global footprint.
In the final 3 minutes with Robert Denson, president of DMAC, let me ask you, how are you addressing, what are you offering the challenges of students in particular who need assistance to afford a DMAC education? What can you offer there?
Okay, number one, we work to make sure that all of the FAFSA application, which is the free federal application for financial assistance, so that particularly persons with financial need has that federal Pell dollars primarily to come in. There are federal loans available. We try to tell students, don't take out any more money than you need because you don't want to leave anywhere with a massive debt. Our new emphasis, I also want to say that the state of Iowa has given us some flexible funds that we can use for students that are taking credit and non-credit training in high-demand areas. They've given us some funding so that if there is a gap, we can help fill that gap to get somebody into a job. But the last thing I would say, you know, we are looking at not only apprenticeships, which are great, both pre-apprenticeships in the high school and apprenticeships outside. We're looking at other forms of work-based learning, as I mentioned, where we get companies to come in and hire our students while they're still learning at DMAC, give them a part-time job in the company. Some pay tuition, some pay tools, whatever, but to give our students financial support so they're learning and earning, and then when they leave us, a very high percentage stay with that same company, because if they're happy with the company, if the company's happy with them, they've developed a friendship and a working structure, our mm-hmm. students are going to stay where they're happy. So that is the new thing, is to find these work-based learning opportunities, and again, very consistent with Future Ready Iowa, so that our students can earn, learn, and leave with low debt.
Just over a minute left, President Denson. We hear a lot from Washington, a lot that discourages us about government. But I'm wondering, if from your angle as a community college president, are you hearing anything from Washington under this new president, under this new administration, that encourages or concerns you in the area of community colleges?
Well, he clearly understands the need for skilled workers. Talking about President Trump, mm-hmm. and that our students need support. He visited the DMAC campus while he was running for office. He was over in Newton. He has a very clear understanding of what community colleges can do. We are concerned about, you know, some cuts in Pell, cuts in some of the other funding sources coming down from the federal government. But we're confident that the Iowa delegation will work with him to make sure that there is no impact, because these companies that we service in Iowa, that we provide graduates for, I mean, they need these individuals, and we are the best conduit to get someone from where they are to where they want to be, particularly professionally or with skills. So it would be a grave error to cut the benefits. And in fact, if we wanted to really help satisfy the needs of our area businesses in the state, you know, we would double down on support of students so that they could move through the system more seamlessly and quicker.
Okay, Robert Denson, president of Des Moines Area Community College, thank you so much for taking the time to come into our studio, talk about the community college mission, DMAC's mission, and all the Iowans it's serving into the future. President Denson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk with our second community college president, Mick Starcevich, president of Kirkwood Community College. Enrollment nearly 20,000. We're looking for you today to tell us about your experience in community college and how that got you to where you are today. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
We're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking with three Iowa Community College presidents this hour, talking about how their respective colleges are digesting, coping with a $3 million budget cut given to them by the Iowa legislature. The Iowa legislature, if you remember, had a late budget shortfall they had to deal with. So a lot of cuts that had to go out that were not expected until just a couple of months ago, I guess it would have been. Joining us now, Mick Starcevich. He is president of Kirkwood Community College. That's a two-year comprehensive community college serving seven counties in eastern Iowa. Enrollment of something like nearly 20,000. President Starcevich, welcome to the program. President Starcevich, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good. So yep. Good to have you on the program again. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
We want to reach out to our listeners telling us your experience, as we've been asking last half hour. If you went to one of Iowa's community colleges, perhaps Kirkwood, tell us how that education got you where you are today, career-wise. 1-866-780-9100, or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Last half hour, Mick Starcevich, we talked with Robert Denson of DMAC. He said that cut was meant for them specifically, $800,000. What about for Kirkwood?
Between the two cuts, it was for us right around that same number.
Mm-hmm. How are you dealing? How will you make up the shortfall?
Well, we were very aggressive this year because we can sort of see the handwriting on the wall with less funding coming from the state. And so we got aggressive. We did an enhanced retirement system where our employees that were retirement age could actually take retirement and receive a little extra from us. And we had right at 50 take advantage of the early retirement system, and we did not replace 22 of them.
Mm-hmm. How will that impact the service that Kirkwood can deliver?
Well, I really, it shouldn't change what we're able to deliver. We were very selective on those 22 cuts. You know, back in 2008, we went from 15,000 to 18,000 enrollment in the fall, and we went up 3,000 in 2 years, and so we hired a lot of folks. Now we're down to around 15,000 in the fall, even though we served 21,000 during the entire year. So we were just right-sizing the organization.
Mm-hmm. What other concerns do you have at this moment? We've got a couple of callers want to chime in here, but what's top of your list other than perhaps even connected with these budget cuts or otherwise?
Well, I just, you know, with the shortfall of over $100 million from the state for this last year, the legislature is going to have to convene this fall. I'm always concerned about where they'll take that $100 million. I'm hoping they'll take it out of the rainy day fund, but if they do that, then that's just going to put that much more stress on the budget for 18 and 18-19. So there's a lot of issues. We've tried to think of alternative ways to generate dollars, and we've been doing that for quite a few years, and we've been fairly successful at that.
When you talk with legislators and make your pitch to anyone, your elevator pitch, what is it about the importance of community colleges that they deserve? Deserve to have the budgets they have from the legislature?
Well, for one, we just did an economic impact study of Kirkwood alone in the state, and it's just a couple $100,000 short of $1 billion a year. And so we provide a good economic base for the whole state, and an even bigger one here, obviously, for our seven-county region. But we serve everyone. That is the difference between us and the regents. We serve everyone. We have an open-door policy, and we really try to – we do a lot of focusing on with our GAP and PACE programs for the unemployed and the underemployed. And then as you talk to businesses, they are really hurting for our employees. And we have six sector boards in all of the major employment categories, and they help advise us, so we know we need to ramp up welding, and we did that, the CNC program, advanced manufacturing. So we listen to them very well, and that's one nice thing about a community college. We are nimble, mm-hmm. and we are able to change on a dime.
Okay. Live with President Mick Starcevich of Kirkwood Community College. I'm going to go to some callers. I'll have to ask our callers to make it quick. We're running out of time this hour. We still have another community college president to welcome onto our program. Brad in Cedar Rapids, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I started my program at Kirkwood in 2008 in the pre-engineering course, and I really credit Kirkwood Community College for giving me the base foundation in my STEM field. I ended up transferring out after 2 years to Iowa State and graduated with my electrical engineering degree. And without Kirkwood, I don't think I could have gotten the proper start I needed to actually complete a four-year university.
Okay, Brad, thanks for your experience with Kirkwood. Let's move to Barbara in Shell Rock. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Yeah, did you use a community college?
Yes, I did. I went to Ellsworth from 1967 to 1969. I was a low-income farm kid, could never have gone to college, nor did I even have the grades, quite frankly, or even the idea that I ever could have gone to, say, even Iowa State or something. And what Ellsworth gave me was entry into an opportunity to see beyond. I ended up going to a couple of other community colleges in two other states as I moved around. And I ended up at UCLA, graduated from that school, went on to UC Irvine, got a PhD, and I'm now a tenured professor at Creighton University.
Wow, and it all started at an Iowa community college. Wonderful, Bob.
Yes,
Barbara.
Because I got an opportunity. And that's what I think the community colleges offer kids.
Okay.
There needs to be a place for that.
Okay.
We just need that.
Barbara, thank you for your words of support for Iowa's community colleges. Melissa in Cedar Rapids, I have to ask you to be quick, Melissa, but would you like to chip in? I see on my screen you went to Kirkwood.
I did. I went to Kirkwood from 05 to 08, did almost all nighttime classes so I could work during the day. I got a paralegal degree in 08, and I've got a job within a month of graduating, and I've been with the same employer since, and I'm 32 now, so over 9 years this year. I have no student loans. I just think it's an amazing opportunity. If you can't afford to go to university, community colleges are great. I have a great career now, and can't say enough good things about Kirkwood.
Okay, Melissa in Cedar Rapids, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about affordability. Mick Starcevich, you've been in the saddle, so to speak, there at Kirkwood for how long?
This is my 15th year. I spent 34 years in K-12, the last 23 as a superintendent.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have plans to retire in 2018, right?
Yes, June 30th of 2018.
Okay. So how have you seen, having been president of Kirkwood for such a long time and education your whole career, what have you seen in terms of the tuition increase for community college, the affordability of community college? Are we holding our own here? Is it getting more difficult to attend even a community college?
Yes, as you noticed, in the last couple of days, the regents have increased their tuition rates by quite a bit. But we're still, DMAC and us and Northeast, we are still quite low on our tuition. But if you look at Iowa as a whole, we are 10th worst in the nation for what we charge, 10th worst. And that just shouldn't be. When community colleges were started, 50% was supposed to come from the state, 25% from local property tax, and 25% from students. And that is way out of whack. And I'm hoping that the legislature will take a look at that and give our trustees an opportunity to look at different funding sources. Right now, we get 4% of our budget comes from local property tax, and that was supposed to be 25. Mm-hmm. The students was supposed to be 25. They're 67%. They fund 67%. So we're putting the onus on the backs of our students, even though it's a reasonable, very reasonable rate. The legislature needs to start realizing that we need different options, and that's all I'm asking for is different options to help us maybe raise our property tax. You know, when you think about raising a property tax by 20 cents, for us that would generate about $5 million. What it costs a person with a $100,000 house is $10. And so there's some real opportunity here, And as you look at the community colleges, we're pretty well respected in each one of our geographic regions, and I don't think it would be an issue. Mm-hmm. Even if we have to go out and do a vote to get that to happen, we've got to find some other way than keep putting it on tuition.
Mm-hmm. We've got a couple minutes left, President Starcevich. I understand in September there's a bond referendum to raise something like $60 million for new construction renovations at your Cedar Rapids campus.
Well, yeah, it's really for all of our campuses, but the major part is obviously Cedar Rapids. There's a huge, about a $12 million addition down in Iowa City. But here's the interesting thing about that $60 million bond issue. We are not going to raise taxes. Right now, from our previous bond issue, it costs a homeowner 25 cents per thousand. All right? This will be at the same rate, but no increase. It just adds 5 years onto our existing debt. And so it really provides us for some opportunity to do a student center, auto tech increase. Our ag department is the number one in the nation, and we need new space there. Pretty much the same with our vet tech and then our Iowa City campus. So they're really needed things that we really need to do to finish up our facilities master plan.
Okay. Mick Starcevich, President Starcevich of Kirkwood, please stay with us. We're going to welcome also another Iowa Community College president, Ling Chi Wee, president of Northeast Iowa Community College, also chair of the Iowa Association of Community College Presidents. Northeast Iowa Community College, an enrollment of about 5,000 students. President Wee, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on the program. In fact, our enrollment is about 6,500.
6,500, okay. A little bit lower. I said a little bit lower. Thank you for correcting me. Tell us, how are you going to be dealing with the funding cuts? How much of this $3 million do you have to cut?
Well, we're looking, we look at $175,000 impact on us, and every dollar means a lot to us. The one thing that we are looking at is how do we look at other revenues. We did increase the tuition a little bit. We're talking about $3 per credit hour with our students. But the other thing is also how do we raise scholarship for our students? How do we work with our business and industry and to create more revenue? Your audience may not know, but even though 6,500 students are in the credit side, on any given year, we do about three times that size, about 20,000-21,000 of training with businesses throughout our 5,000 square miles. So we did have to free some position. We did have to cut some of our expenses. But we're also looking at how to look at other revenue. As President Starcevich says, the state, if they could give us a little bit of flexibility, we might be able to fill in some of the gaps that we feel that the cut generated.
Mm-hmm. We heard President Starcevich give his pitch and his wishes for the legislature, I guess, to change its mindset about Iowa community colleges. Do you have anything to add to that? What do you turn to as the most convincing arguments to keep funding levels? What would you see there in terms of how do you change minds?
Well, the thing is that I look at the state as an investor in community colleges. People have said that the state give us money. No, the state expect a return on investment. In fact, earlier this year, Iowa Workforce Development and Iowa Department of Education, they both jointly created a report that shows the return on investment for every dollar invested in community colleges. And for every dollar in student, we're talking about $6.50 in return on investment. For an average taxpayer, it's $3.50. And for the society as a whole, $9.30.
Do you think the legislators get that when you put it that way?
Oh, we try. I can tell you that community colleges, we hold ourselves more accountable than any other agencies that the state may put on us. Every year we provide a report on the number of people served and the outcome. And I can tell you that those numbers really prove that we are a great investment. Majority of our students are part-time, and the reason is because they have family obligations, they have jobs. So for us is to make sure that we upgrade their skill, get them into even better paying jobs, That increased the tax revenue and lower the cost of social services. And those are the things that win for the family, win for the society, win for the state, and, of course, for the college.
Let's go to our phones. Josh is with us from New Hampton. I see on my screen, Josh, you went to Northeast Iowa Community College?
Yes, I did. After graduating high school, I went to NICC because I wasn't ready to move super far away from home. And it was a great experience. It helped me transition to a four-year. Like the president of DMAC in Kirkwood and Dr. Weir saying, the transition to University of Northern Iowa for me was seamless. And I just wanted to say that the student-centered approach that NICC gave me, from faculty to student services all the way to administration, I would not be where I am today without the support I got at NICC. So just a big fan of community colleges in general and proud to be a former student.
Thanks, Josh, from New Hampton. Student-centered, what does that mean for you, President Wee?
Well, what it means to us is that every student who walks through our doors, they have different set of circumstances, so we cannot assume that they are all the same. I mean, just take a look at the community colleges, and we have 15 of them in Iowa, and these are the folks we serve: high school grads, single parents, mid-career professional, unemployed, underemployed, ex-offenders, veterans, immigrants, high school dropout, college grads, and people who have laid off. So you find that for us, everybody who comes in, we have a conversation and say, where are you? Where do you want to go? As President Stasovich said earlier, we are an open access institution. That means people coming in do not have to meet minimum requirement. We take them as they are. We have people who have not finished high school. So for us, student-centered approach means taking that situation, not only financial, but also other life circumstances, such as transportation, housing, childcare, put a package together and say, well, how do we get from point A to point B? And some of them will take 4 years, 5 years to get there. But that personalized approach, that understanding of circumstances, help people to have that hope that they can someday get to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. High employment in the state. I wonder if the low unemployment, President Wee, is a challenge for you in some way.
It is a challenge, but I also have to caution, you know, everybody. The unemployment rate is very low. I get that. But the question is, how many of them are actually employed in a low-paying job that with certain amount of skill training, as short as 3-4 months through us, would bring them into a higher plateau of pay? So we have always encouraged our community members to say, if there are people who are in a lower-paying job right now, maybe lower skill, connect with us and let us help them move up. And the other thing about community colleges is we're 24/7, because we are not an 8-to-5 institution, simply because many of the folks we serve, they work during the day. So we need to have programs that they can come when they are able to. So that is the strategy that we have, but it's also pretty challenging when you're looking at trying to be providing on-demand education and training.
Mm-hmm. Let's go quickly to Kevin. Kevin's been waiting, calling from Mount Vernon. Kevin, I have to ask you to be very short, but I see you went to DMAC 40 years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I went to DMAC starting in 78 on my GI Bill, and the Tool and Die program, which was taught by a wonderful man named Maynard Amdahl. Graduated in 80 and finished my apprenticeship and worked into design and now management in 62, and looking back and over my career, and what a good investment in time that was in my years at DMAC. It made all the difference. And in my trade, in the machining trades, I always recommend to young people that I know is invest in yourself. Invest basically the price of a cheap used car for a 2-year degree and go in something that you're interested in.
Okay.
And invest in a community college. So that's my take on that.
Kevin, thank you so much for calling from Mount Vernon. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We have just about a minute left, 30 seconds for each of our presidents remaining here. President Wee and President Stasovich, give us your 30 seconds on where you hope community college, your community college, hopes to be in 10, 20 years. What do you see, President Wee?
Well, I hope to continue to partner with our K-12 institution, our four-year business and industry, and definitely our community, because what we do is really about community vitality. We're talking about job creation. That means economic development. And for us, making a difference one life at a time. Over 85% of our students live and work and play in our community. That means these are our brothers and sisters, people we see in the grocery store. And for Iowa, for us, is to let people know that they can stay here, have a great job, a great life. And we need to continue to welcome people outside of Iowa to discover us and move to the state of Iowa.
Okay. President Starcevich, 30 seconds for you. Predict for us how Kirkwood, you'll be retiring in 2018, but look 10 or 20 years down the road. What about Kirkwood then?
Well, I think we still need to live our name, like Kirkwood Community College. We are the community's college, and we can never forget that. We need to serve our seven-county region. Even though I have students from 34 states and 99 countries, our biggest service point is our seven-county region. And we can never forget that we need to serve not only the students in that area, but the businesses in that area, the other privates. Because like for Mount Mercy, 60% of their grads come start at Kirkwood. So we always have to have that pipeline. Three-fourths of our students will transfer. And I'll give you one interesting
statistic. Very, very quickly.
Okay, one interesting statistic. Over 10% of our students that took classes last year already had a BA, MA, or a PhD.
Okay. Mick Starcevich, president of Kirkwood Community College. Also, thanks to Ling Chi Wee, president of Northeast Iowa Community College. Presidents Wee and Starcevich, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank River you. To River is produced by Ben Stanton, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon, with help today from Robbie Broad. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.